and a supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam and peace to all of you who are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic is the Shia of Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Today, Tuesday, is the 22nd of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Hordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special. And it will be blessed by a verse from the Holy Quran, verse 24 from chapter As-Sajda. And we'll listen to this shining verse.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون.
And we made from among them leaders, guiding by our command when they were patient, when they were certain of our signs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Here the Holy Quran counts two things as the secrets and conditions of leadership. One is proving faith and certainty to be to the divine verses, and the other is patience and perseverance. This matter is not allocated to the children of Israel or Bani Israel in the Holy Quran, the children of Israel. It is a lesson for all nations and for Muslims in all times. They must strengthen the basis of their own certainty and do not fear from the difficulties found in the way of confirming the line of monotheism. They must have patience and perseverance in order to become the leader of the nation throughout the history of the world.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
And our topic for this series of today's special, and of course for this episode, who are the Shiites? During the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, the word Shia was used as a name, first of all, for four highly respected companions of the Prophet. Who are they? Salman al-Farsi, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, Miqdad al-Kindi, and Ammar bin Yasir. Peace be upon them all. Those were the first Shias, and there was the beginning of the Shia faith under the kind guidance and patronage of the Prophet of Islam himself. Shaykh al-Mufid, rahmatullah alayh, has said that when the word Shia is used with the definite article al, and it is a Shia, that means the Shia, it only means the group which follows Imam Ali with love and belief that he was the Imam after the Prophet without any gap. The Shia got this name because they follow Ali, Imam Ali, and his sinless progeny, and reject the claims of others to the office of imamate or leadership after the Prophet. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with certain definitions and characteristics of typical Shi'i people as formulated by the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In another piece of indication, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam mentioned that, Shi'i communities or Shi'i people are of three kinds. One of them are those that certainly like the infallible imams for the sake of their own life or lifestyle. Another kind of Shi'i people are those who want to reach higher stages of life, or for example in the communities, because of being associated with the infallibles. And then there's a Shi'i people who do their best, who do their utmost for the sake of the Ahlul Bayt without any anticipation of making any name. And they want to remain quite unknown and unknown to other people that they are doing so and so for the sake of the Ahlul Bayt and for the sake of the religious community. In an instance, the infallible imams, and especially the one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam mentioned to him that if you divide a pomegranate into two halves and say that one half is haram, I mean forbiddable to eat, and the other half is allowable to eat, I accept whatever you say without any question. And then Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam approved this kind of attitude. It means that true Shi'i people accept whatever indicated by an infallible imam.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Now the characteristics of a true Shia. The narrator of a tradition states that I entered the presence of Abi Bakr al-Hazrami, one of the special companions of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him. While he was about to pass away, he looked at me and said, "This is not the time to speak lies. I bear witness on the life of Ja'far ibn Muhammad, that I heard him say, the fire of hell shall never touch the person who dies while believes in this command, the wilayah of Ahlul Bayt." The general rule is that through our actions, we must not be a source of embarrassment for Ahlul Bayt, meaning that we must act in such a way that when people look at us, they would immediately send blessings upon those whom we follow and would say congratulations to people such as yourself that have been trained and nourished as you have been. We must not be a source of shame for Ahlul Bayt, since they are the progeny of the Prophet. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Today's special from IRIB English Radio presents a life lesson for you, thinking, reflection, and meditation. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "Be aware, knowledge without thinking has no profit. Be aware, recitation of the Holy Quran without reflection is of little use. Be aware, worship lacking reflection has no effect. Filling the brain with scientific formulas, logical rules, and philosophical principles and other knowledge has little effect if it is not based on proper reflection, a clear worldview, and familiarity with fundamentals of man's life. Reciting holy verses of the Holy Quran has little effect when it is not accompanied by reflection and thinking about them."
I'm a Shia because my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi made it very clear that after me there will be 12 imams, leaders, khalifas from Quraysh. My school of thought shows me who those 12 are one by one, by name. I know when they were born, where they were born, what they said, what their legacy was. Ask other Muslims, who are these 12? Tell me. Is the Prophet going to say something vague? Is the Prophet going to just keep it a mystery for us? Yeah, there's 12 imams, but you poor Muslims, you'll never figure out who they are. Then what's the point of telling me they're 12? Don't even bother telling me they're 12 if I'm never going to figure it out. Ask other schools of thought, who are these 12? They start, okay, Abu Bakr, Uthman, Umar, Ali, and then some of them mention Al-Hasan, and then Muawiyah, some of them, and then who? Yazid? Yazid is the fifth one? The leaders of Bani Umayyah? They're your imams? Are these the imams who are going to represent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi? That's where it stops. You don't know who's going to be the next imam. My school of thought, with full clarity, shows to me who the 12 Imams are. I have details about their lives and their legacy. That's why I'm a Shia and I proudly follow these 12 Imams. I'm a Shia because in my theology and belief system, Allah is the one who chooses the Imams for me, not people. My dear brothers and sisters, the Imams, they represent who? Who do they represent? Do they represent the people? No. Where does the Quran say that the Prophet or the Imam represents people? Does he represent society? No. He represents Allah, the King of the universe, and Rasulullah, the best creation of Allah. That's the word Khalifa. That's what it means. Khalifa to Rasulullah means the successor who has been appointed to represent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My theology, my Shia theology tells me only Allah has the right to choose these people, not you people. Yes, you want to choose a mayor? Choose a mayor who's going to run your city. Fine. Go ahead and do that. But not with imamah. This is something only Allah chooses. Now when you look at other schools of thought, you ask them, how is your imam chosen? Yeah, let the people gather. In some saqifah, anyone they choose, we accept that. They tell you by shura. Really, the shura? When did the Prophet ever say that through shura you choose your imam? Show me. Show me one hadith. Show me one verse in the Quran that tells you that shura is a mechanism to choose the khalifa. Show me. If this is such an important discussion and reality, why doesn't the Prophet explain to us how does the shura work? Who gets to choose? What are the conditions? And why didn't Abu Bakr go by the shura? He directly appointed Umar ibn al-Khattab. What's going on here? But with my Shia faith, it's very clear. Allah chooses the imam. Because Allah says in the Holy Quran, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah is the one who designates the imam. You want the word khalifa? Ya Dawood, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَ. Dawood, we've appointed you as the khalifa. Any word that you want, you'll find in the words of the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, that's something that Allah will only designate.
That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we will speak more about this interesting topic, and that is, who is a true Shia? Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. So may Allah bless all of you, and we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us ponder today on how to dress in public, as expounded to us by the embodiment of dignity, Imam Ali, peace upon him. He whose dress is chosen by knowledge will have his defects screened from people.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be looking at a hadith and a tradition which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding fornication, or what we call in Arabic, zina. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah's wrath is indeed severe on the married woman who fills her eyes with desire for men other than her husband." So this hadith, even though it's in general it's about fornication, but specifically it's directed towards women, and it's not simply and specifically related to the actual act of fornication, but it also touches briefly upon the things that lead to fornication, right? The preliminaries that occur and kind of prepare the way for the act of fornication occurring. And this is these also, are things which, God gets upset with, and a person would incur sin and God's wrath because of them. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Allah's wrath is indeed severe on the married woman who fills her eyes with desire for men other than her husband." A woman, if she looks at other a man, lustfully and desirably, this is a sin, because it prepares the way and paves the way for fornication. "Or looks lustfully at anyone other than her unmarriageable kin husband." Right. So what's the result of this? What happens if a woman does this? What do we mean by Allah's wrath here? The Prophet elucidates this by saying, upon which Allah thwarts every single good deed she ever committed, right? Habt a'mal, what we call habt in Islamic theology, right? It causes the good deeds of the woman to be erased and eradicated and eliminated, right? If she had committed some good deeds, you know, by committing this evil sin, right? Her good deeds are erased and wiped out, and she won't receive the reward that she could have had they not been erased. In continuation, the Prophet ﷺ says, and if she welcomes anyone other than her husband in his bed, Allah will rightfully burn her in the fire after he has chastised her in her grave. Right, so this is actually referring to the actual act of fornication, right? If, you know, after these preliminaries, she actually commits the act of fornication and sleeps with another man other than her husband, in this case, Allah will punish her in the grave, as well as in the hereafter, right? So this is a kind of a very grave sin, because not only does it lead to punishment in the grave, but it's not something the punishment of which will be, you know, terminated and will be elapsed in the grave, right? Rather, in the hereafter, right, a person will also incur its, you know, punishment for it. This indicates that it's one of those grave sins that the punishment of the grave even does not have the power to eliminate and to eradicate and to fulfill. Another important point here in this hadith is that specifically this is about the fornication that a married person would commit with another person. So it doesn't have anything to do with fornication that, for example, a single person would do with another person. That's another subject altogether, which we're not concerned about in our program today. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at fornication in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Welcome back and thanks for joining us again. Alhamdulillah, we learned about how to prohibit or avoid the meeting of two sakin letters, okay, from each other. So now there is one more important topic, which can be like the last topic in our level 2 of the reading and fluency of the Quran Karim. Inshallah, after that we will have the level 3, which is going to be the tajweed of the Quran Karim. Okay, so then after the tajweed of the Quran Karim, our level 4, as we have considered, okay, as a level 4 for this series of Quranic classes, that will be the recitation and like we say qira'at or the sawtul lahn, okay, tartil and sawtul lahn of the Quran Karim. So I really invite you, respected brothers and sisters, to stay with us, okay, with the level 3 also and level 4 also. So it's very important because they all are like after one another, they are necessary. So when you finish level 1, level 2, of course you gotta study level 3 as well, because tajweed is one of the most important topics in reading and recitation of the Quran Karim. If you see any reciter, so if he is about to recite the Quran Karim beautifully with a beautiful voice, but if he doesn't know that he has a beautiful voice, okay, he can recite it very beautifully. When you listen to him, okay, maybe you kind of love his voice, okay, the Quran Karim. You will get in love with the Quran Karim. And if he doesn't know the tajweed rules, so that will not be okay. Because he recites it well, okay, but with mistakes. That's not good. So it's very important. I really invite you from now on, okay, that you have to stay with us, inshallah, and continue listening to our Quranic sessions. So the last topic in our level 2 class will be the how to read the tanween when it meets Hamzatul Wasl. It's very important, and it's a kind of sometimes difficult. But there is, again, a general rule, okay, that can help you a lot. So what is the topic? The way to read the tanween, the way how to read the tanween when it meets Hamzatul Wasl. Yes. What was tanween? Tanween was?
In, un.
Actually, tanween was it's a saakin noon, which is pronounced at the end of the nouns, okay, in Arabic, but it's not written. So, for example, you say kitabun, it's pronounced this way, kitabun, there is a noon at the end after ba, yes? But it's not written. Instead of that noon sound, instead of writing that noon, we put what? The sign of tanween. A fatha, two fatha, for example, okay? Two kasra or two dhamma. All right? That was tanween, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, an, in, un. So, suppose we have a word that ends with tanween, with an, with in, with un, okay? Then we have a word that starts with Hamzatul Wasl. Do you remember how was Hamzatul Wasl?
Hamzatul Wasl is basically when there's a hamza and there's two words between it. And the word...
So Hamzatul Wasl has a sign of small sod, the head of sod.
That's Hamzatul Wasl. A small sign, the front part of the sod, okay? On the top of that alif. That's Hamzatul Wasl. Sometimes it's not written as well, okay? It has sukun. And sometimes it's not written, it has sukun, okay? That's Hamzatul Wasl. So now, when we have a tanween or a word ends with tanween plus, the next word starts with Hamzatul Wasl. So you know that when we join these two words together, Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped. So if Hamzatul Wasl is skipped, how can I read that tanween with the next word?
Sir, if the next word is waw or ya, it will be ayn, aw.
No, we're not talking about waw, ya. We're talking about Hamzatul Wasl. Tanween, then Hamzatul Wasl. Okay, tanween then?
Hamzatul
Wasl. Okay, I will tell you some examples now. So, let's take a look, okay? How do you deal with this tanween plus Hamzatul Wasl, okay? Say with me, مثلاً
مثلاً
القوم
القوم
مثلاً القوم
مثلاً القوم.
Okay, so now مثلاً ends with tanween, right? What tanween? Tanween fatha kasra dhamma.
مثلاً فتحة.
So it will be مثلاً.
Okay, now let's see. Al-qawm starts with alif lam, and that alif, okay, is Hamzatul Wasl.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
So
Hamzatul Wasl skipped.
No. Look, we first time we do not connect them together. We do not join them. Okay. مثلاً القوم. So if you connect these two words together, مثلاً القوم, you skip that alif, yes, that Hamzatul Wasl. So there will be what?
مثلاً.
Aha. Is tanween a nun sakin or no?
Tanween? مثلاً
القوم. Is tanween a nun sakin or no?
Yeah.
مثلاً, that's nun sakin. If it was fatha, مثلاً. 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 No. It is مثلاً. That's Nun Sakin. Okay.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
Al-Qawmu, when you skip that alif, that hamzatul was, then there will be lam. Lam is sakin as well or no? Mathalan, Al-Qawmu, lam is sakin.
Sir, yes.
Yes. Lam is sakin. So mathalan, nun is sakin, then lam sakin.
So mathalal. It's because the nun is sakin will jump the...
From mathalan you will jump to?
No, not jump, like mathalan the...
You will skip that lam, that nun?
Yeah, that nun, and we'll just directly with fatah go to lam.
So what do you think?
مثلال.
How do you read this? مثلاً القوم همزة الوس will be skipped. مثلاً. So how do you read this?
مثلاً القوم.
Oh, yes. That was a general, there was a general rule, okay?
What is that again?
إذا التقت الساكنتين حرك بالكسر. So that تنوين is literally a نون ساكن. So you assign it to a كسرة.
مثلاً.
Now join it with lam.
مثلا نيل قوم.
Okay, what? مثلا نيل قوم. مثلا نيل قوم. Okay, so you assign that تنوين or نون ساكن with كسرة and then you read it. مثلا نيل قوم.
مثلا القوم.
Everyone say مثلا القوم.
مثلا القوم.
مثلا القوم.
مثلا القوم.
That's great.
ساء مثلا القوم الذين كذبوا بآياتنا وأنفسهم كانوا يظلمون.
The next example. يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ.
يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ.
يَوْمَئِذٍ
الْقَوْمُ. يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ.
Great. Okay, one by one I will ask you. Apply the rule, okay? Wait. One by one. One example I will ask everyone. يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ. That's done, yes? يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ. يَوْمَئِذٍ تَنْوِينَ كَسْرَ, which is literally a نون ساكن. الْحَقُّ لام الساكن here. حَمْزَةُ الْوَسْلِ will be skipped. So two ساكن letters, the نون or the تَنْوِين will be assigned with كَسْرَ. Okay? يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ.
يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ.
Okay. So, مين هنو سين? This example, please. Listen to this example. فِسْقٌ الْيَوْمَ. How do you do it?
فِسْقٌ الْيَوْمَ.
Oh, that's great. فِسْقٌ الْيَوْمَ. فِسْقٌ الْيَوْمَ. So remember that we are talking about تنوين plus a word starting with حمزة الوس. Do not, like, don't be confused, okay, with, like, when we have تنوين, then we have واو. There is another rule. Inshallah, in تجويد, you will learn. We have تنوين, then we have يا. There is another rule. We have تنوين, there is fa, there is another rule. Hamzatul was. تنوين plus Hamzatul was. When تنوين approaches Hamzatul was. Okay, Muhammad Yahya, next example. بزينة الكواكب.
بزينة
الكواكب.
بزينة
ده التنوين كسرة. بزينة
بزينة
الكواكب. بزينة الكواكب. Because we have noon تنوين, it's noon الساكن. The next ساكن letter, two ساكن letters. Again, التقاء الساكنتين. The meeting of two ساكن letters. حرك بالكسر. Here you use it. Okay? So the manner, I mean case, that we use, like this general rule is when we have tanween, which approaches Hamzatul Wasl. Mahdi, the next example. Misbahun al-misbahu.
Misbahun al-misbahu.
Misbahun al-misbahu.
You just add nil to
can
it.
Do you know that ayah? Misbahun al-misbahu. Thank you. Hussein Musa, this example. Sawa'an al-aakifu.
سواءن العاكف
سواءن العاكف ما شاء الله. One more example. عاد المرسلون
عاد المرسلون
عاد المرسلون.
You add so, nil to it and the word is done.
Yeah, kasra. That's kasra. It's done. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we finished the session as well. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. And besides, thanks to you, students of Sevier International School, and thanks to me, yes, also. Thank you so much to those who help us hold this kind of sessions. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Stay with us with the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahiri.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأل والنظر في أمري.
Dear listeners, in the previous episode, we had a look at some of the instances of the mercy of the Almighty Allah and true reliance on Him. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in this part of the Kumail supplication, says, إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. My Allah and my Lord, have I any but you from whom to ask the remedy of my affliction and regard for my affairs? We concluded that the true supplicant, that the true servant, by the true essence and nature of supplication, must seek closeness to the Almighty Allah and no one else. He should be hopeless of all beings, like the relatives and friends, and beseech only from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Therefore, my Lord, I ask you by your greatness not to let my sins and my misdeeds veil my supplications from you, and not to disgrace me by exposing those of which you have knowledge, nor to hasten my retribution for those vices and misdeeds committed by me in secret, which were due to evil-mindedness, ignorance, excessive lustfulness, and my negligence. O Allah, I beg you by your greatness to be compassionate to me in all circumstances, and be gracious to me in all affairs. My God, my nourisher, have I anyone except you from whom I can seek the removal of my afflictions and understanding of my problem?
Thank you, Allah, and God, that we're here feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Let us have a look at another instance of this situation of inqita. Hatam al-Asam was among the pious men of his age, but despite his good reputation, despite his authority, he was among those who could hardly make the ends meet. He had a strong belief and reliance on the Almighty Allah, but his situation was not good. One night, when he was talking to his friends, they spoke about Hajj, pilgrimage, the Kaaba, and Hatam heartily desired to go for pilgrimage. He wanted to reach Kaaba, the place where Allah's Prophet had humbly worshipped him. When Hatam returned home, he told this to his wife and his children, and he asked them to allow him to go to Mecca and pray for them. The wife said, "How do you dare go to pilgrimage while you are well aware of our poverty? This pilgrimage is obligatory only for those who are wealthy." His children confirmed their mother's words, but there was only one little girl who said sweetly, "What is wrong with going on this pilgrimage? Let my father go anywhere he wishes. Our provider is Allah. Our father is only a mediator for our sustenance." The little girl said that Almighty can grant us our sustenance through other means if He wills. Everyone got aware of the fact that this girl is really clever, and the girl was right, so they allowed Hatam to go for Hajj and pray for them. Hatem prepared the necessary means for this travel. He joined the pilgrimage caravan, and being informed of the little girl's words and Hatem's travel, their neighbors came and reproached her, because they said that this family needs complete attention, and this travel will last for months. They could not make a living in their father's absence. And Hatem's family reprimanded the girl afterwards. This girl was so upset that she burst into tears, and at the same time she sincerely raised her hands to the sky and called her Lord. O Lord, they have always benefited from your mercy and blessings and got used to it. Do not despair them and do not make me ashamed. Anyway, while Hatem's family were wondering how they were going to make a living, the ruler of the city was returning from hunting thirstily. He sent some people to the houses in that area to bring him some water. So some servants were knocking at the door. They were asking for water for the thirsty ruler. Hatem's wife looked up to the sky astonished and said, O Lord, we slept last night without any supper, and today the ruler is in need of us? Then she poured some water, and she apologized for the pottery bowl, because they did not have money to get a better bowl. The commander asked his disciples, whose house is this? They said, it's Hatem al-Asam's, who is a pious man, and he has gone to pilgrimage, and they explained the situation. The ruler said, we have taken them into trouble asking for water, and it is far from generosity for us to put such poor, needy people into trouble. Then he unfastened his golden belt, he threw it in Hatem's house, and he told his followers, if you like me, you throw your belts into this house. And the next day he sent his servants to come and buy these belts, paying the money to the house. Seeing this scene, the little girl began weeping, and everyone told her, you should be laughing right now, not crying, because the merciful Allah has shown us a ray of his mercy by improving our life this way. The girl said, I am not crying because of that. I'm crying because we slept last night hungrily, and today a creature of Almighty Allah had regard for us. He enriched us. So how enriching will be Allah's regard for a servant? And he asked God to have regard for her father on his trip and help him. Brothers and sisters, this story still continues, so stay with us for the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadali, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Noor Muhammad from the Islamic Seminar of Qom. Dear Sheikh, I'm very happy that you could join us today, and I thank you for your time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Dear Sheikh, our question today, it is perhaps the first time we talk about this subject on this show.
Yeah.
And it is about the stage before death, about persons who are about to pass away from an illness. So one of our listeners have asked us, if a person is about to pass away, they're in the hospice, as we call it, they're in the hospital bed, they're about to die, and they are in a lot of pain. We know that they are about to die, he says. We do not know, but he knows. The doctors have told him perhaps he's about to die. The person himself knows he's about to die. Everybody knows it. And they are in excruciating pain. But the soul is still not leaving the body. It is still in his body, and he's still suffering. And it can be very difficult for family members to see this. So are there any supplications, any ad'iyah, some dua, that we can pray for this process to be easier for him?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, we have some supplications and the verse of Noble Quran for the ease, relief of this individual. For example, we have that, let's say we have a narration that if you recite the chapter Yasin or Safat or Waqa'a, Qaf, Nazat, and these chapters beside the individual who want to go to, you know, to pass away,
right.
Yes, it causes the relief of this individual. We have that. Or, for example, we have some supplication mentioned in the books by different scholars. I do not want to mention and go to the detail of that. Or, for example, we have some recommendations that you put it, that individual put it in the place that individual was praying. Musallah.
Yes. The place that you'd say offer prayers to ibadah.
Offer prayer, yeah. Because right. Usually in our homes, we usually sometimes we, on some spots, we pray.
Right, we have a special corner, a special room.
Yeah, a special corner, yes, right. You're right. Or, for example, some people, they spread their sajjada. Usually, for example, in that spot I pray. It is recommended to put that individual who is passing away.
If it's difficult for them.
Yeah, to put that in order to cause some kind of relief.
A lot of etiquette, if I remember correctly.
Exactly, it is recommended to do that. Of course, we have many recommendation for that. Let me share the narration itself. إِذَا عَصُرَ عَلَى الْمَيِّتْ مَوْتُهُ وَنَضَعُهُ